Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I'm not really the adventurous type. I've always been more of a homebody. Someone who's perfectly content staying in, cooking something simple, and watching reruns of shows I've already seen 100 times. My apartment isn't much to look at, but it suits me. It's a little run down, sure, but there's a kind of charm to it. Narrow hallways, flickering overhead lights, and those thin walls where you can hear every muffled conversation or late-night TV show your neighbours are watching. I'm not exactly buddy-buddy with my neighbours, but I know them in that distant, city-living way. There's the single mom whose kid likes to stomp around, the retired couple in 3B who sit by the lobby window every morning, and the guy across the hall who blasts music way too late at night. It's predictable, even comforting in its own way. I like knowing the building isn't completely silent. My routine is pretty simple. I work from home, cook for myself, and scroll through social media when I feel like I need to pretend I'm still connected to other people. It's not the most exciting life, but it's mine, and I've never felt the need for more. The background noise of the building, the hum of activity, faint voices, footsteps in the hallway, reminds me I'm not completely alone. Even if I keep to myself most of the time. That's why I noticed it right away, when things started feeling off. It started a couple of nights ago. I was lying on the couch, scrolling through my phone like usual. I wasn't paying much attention to anything in particular, just the endless doom scrolling we all do when we're too tired to sleep, but not tired enough to do anything productive. Then, the lights flickered. It wasn't unusual for the power to hiccup in this old building. It's happened 12 times before, usually during a storm or when someone's messing with the breaker panel in the basement. But this time was different. This time, the lights didn't come back on. I sat there for a second, waiting for everything to reset, but the apartment stayed dark. I grabbed my phone and turned on the flashlight, shining it around the room. My first thought was that maybe it was just my unit, so I got up to check the breaker box. But when I looked out my window, the entire street was blacked out. The whole building was silent. No footsteps, no voices, no faint hum of TVs or music. Just this heavy, oppressive quiet that made my skin crawl. I told myself it was nothing, that it was probably just a temporary outage like before. But for some reason, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. You'd think a power outage in an apartment complex would cause some kind of commotion. People talking in the halls, fumbling for flashlights, maybe complaining loudly about the inconvenience. But there was nothing. No murmurs, no doors creaking open, no footsteps. Just this oppressive, heavy silence that felt like it was pressing down on me. I shone my flashlight down the hallway, expecting to see someone poking their head out. But the entire floor was empty. That's when I started to feel uneasy. It wasn't just the lack of noise. It was the way the silence felt alive, like it was waiting for something. I went to the window at the end of the hall and looked out. The entire block was blacked out. Streetlights, buildings, even the distant glow of the city. Everything was gone. But here's the thing that didn't make sense. A few apartments in my building still had faint lights on. Not normal lights, more like a soft glow, almost like candlelight, but colder somehow. I decided to knock on a few doors just to see if anyone else was around. I started with my neighbor across the hall. Nothing. No sound, no shuffling, no muffled, who's there? Just dead silence. I tried the woman's door, the single mom. Still, nothing. It was around then that the unease started creeping into panic. I went back to my apartment and grabbed my phone to text a friend. That's when I noticed I had no signal. No Wi-Fi, no data, nothing. I couldn't even get a text to send. I told myself it was just because of the power outage, but the isolation was starting to get to me. After a while, I went back to the window to check the street. And that's when I saw them. People leaving the building. At least, I think there were people. They weren't running or shouting like you'd expect during an emergency. They were moving fast, but eerily quiet. Some of them were dragging suitcases, others just clutched bags or backpacks like they'd left in a hurry. They didn't stop to talk to each other. No one even looked back at the building. I watched them disappear into the darkness, one by one, until the street was empty again. I thought about leaving too, but where would I go? The entire neighborhood was blacked out, and the idea of stepping into that darkness with no clue where I was going felt worse than staying put. I locked my door, sat on the couch, and told myself I'd just wait until morning. But even then, I couldn't shake the feeling that staying might have been the worst decision I could have made. The hours dragged on, and the silence in the building started to mess with my head. I don't mean the kind of quiet where you can still hear the occasional hum of the city outside, sirens in the distance, cars passing, people talking. I mean real silence. Heavy, unnatural. I kept telling myself it was normal during a blackout. But it wasn't. Even in the dead of night, there's always some kind of noise. But now, nothing. It was like the entire world had just stopped. At first, I tried to distract myself, scrolling through my phone, even though I had no signal, pacing the room, anything to keep my mind occupied. But then the noises started. It was subtle at first, faint tapping sounds, like someone lightly drumming their fingers against the wall. I ignored it, thinking it was just the old building settling or the barely maintained pipes. But it didn't stop. The tapping moved, shifting from one side of the apartment to another, as if it was circling me. Then there was the creaking. It came from above, like someone was walking around the floor above mine. Except, I'm on the top floor. I grabbed my flashlight and opened my door to check the hallway. It was empty, just like before. I stood there for a while, listening, but the air felt off, thicker somehow, like it was pressing in on me. I shut the door and locked it, trying to push the unease down. But the worst sound came later. I was lying on the couch, trying to convince myself I was overreacting. When I heard it, the faint sound of a child giggling. It was soft, barely there, but it made my skin crawl. It didn't make sense. There were no kids in this building, at least none that young. And it wasn't just the sound, it was the way it echoed, like it wasn't coming from the hall, but from everywhere. I grabbed my laptop. The building security camera still worked, even though the power was out, so I thought maybe I'd catch something on the footage. At first, everything looked normal. Just empty hallways and the lobby. But the longer I watched, the more I noticed something was wrong. The movements of the people leaving earlier, they weren't smooth. They were jerky, like old film footage missing frames. And then there were the shadows. I didn't notice them at first, but in a few frames, I saw faint figures standing in the corners of the hallways, completely motionless. Their faces were blurred or obscured, like the camera couldn't quite focus on them. I sat there, staring at the screen, trying to rationalize what I was seeing. Maybe it was a glitch, or maybe my eyes were playing tricks on me. But the longer I stared, the more certain I was that something wasn't right. And then came the knocking. It was faint, barely more than a tap, but it sent my heart racing. I froze, listening as it grew louder, more deliberate. I grabbed my flashlight and crept to the door, every step making the air feel heavier. "Hello?" I called out, my voice shaking. The knocking stopped. I peered through the peephole, half expecting to see one of my neighbors finally breaking the silence. But there was no one there. The hallway was empty. Except, it didn't feel empty. The shadows in the corners looked darker, longer. The air outside felt different, heavier, like it was waiting for something. I backed away from the door and locked every bolt, every chain. And then I sat down in the corner of my apartment with my flashlight clutched in my hand. I told myself it was all in my head. But deep down, I knew something was wrong. By the time daylight rolled around, I was barely holding it together. Every noise, every shadow, every second of silence felt like it was pressing down on me. I thought maybe if I saw the building in the daylight, it would snap me back to reality, make me realize this was all just in my head. With my flashlight in hand and my phone, still useless, stuffed in my pocket, I decided to explore the building. Daylight streaming through the windows made me feel a little braver, like I wasn't completely alone. I started knocking on doors again, hoping someone, anyone would answer this time. Most of the apartments were completely silent, but a few. They weren't empty, not in the way I expected. The first one I walked into was unsettling, but not in an obvious way. It looked normal at first glance. A couch, a coffee table, a stack of magazines. But then I noticed the plate of food sitting on the table, half eaten, like someone had just stepped out for a moment. The TV remote was on the couch, angled like it had fallen from someone's hand. The next apartment was worse. The faucet in the bathroom was running, and the sink was nearly overflowing. There was a mug of coffee on the kitchen counter, steam still curling up from it. But the air in the room was ice cold, like no one had been there for hours. It was like everyone had just disappeared. By the time I made it to the lobby, I was shaking. I hadn't seen a single person, not even through a window. But that wasn't the worst part. The message board. It was covered in notes, hastily written scraps of paper, some in handwriting I recognized from my neighbors. "Leave now, it's coming. Don't stay. Get out before dark." Over and over, the same desperate warnings. I stood there, staring at the notes for what felt like forever, my mind racing. Who wrote them? When? And why hadn't I noticed them before? Despite everything, I started to feel a weird sense of relief. The building itself looked fine, untouched by whatever nightmare I thought I'd been living through. The sunlight streaming through the lobby windows almost felt reassuring, like the world outside was still normal. I decided it was time to leave. Enough was enough. I grabbed my backpack from my apartment, threw in a few essentials, and headed straight for the front doors. For the first time in hours, I felt like I was making the right choice. I was getting out of here, leaving this nightmare behind. But when I pushed the doors open, the relief vanished in an instant. Instead of stepping out into the street, I found myself staring back at the wall of the lobby. I blinked, frozen in place, trying to make sense of it. I turned around, expecting to see the doors behind me, but I was back in the lobby, exactly where I'd started. I tried again, running this time, but no matter how fast I moved or how hard I pushed, I couldn't get outside. Every exit led me back to the same spot, the middle of the lobby, staring at that message board with its endless warnings. The light from the windows didn't feel reassuring anymore. It felt wrong, artificial, like it was part of the trap. And I realized I wasn't going anywhere. This building wasn't going to let me leave. I think that's when I finally lost it, when I realized there was no way out. I tried every door, every single one. A fire escape. It led me right back to the hallway, like the stairs had twisted around on themselves. The basement. I ended up standing in the same lobby I just left, staring at that damn message board. I even tried the windows, but they wouldn't budge. It was like they weren't real, just painted on illusions meant to keep me trapped. And then the building started changing. The hallways stretched longer than they should have, twisting into impossible angles. The staircases looped endlessly, taking me in circles no matter how far I climbed or how fast I ran. One door opened into a room I'd never seen before, someone else's apartment, pristine and untouched, with sunlight streaming through the windows. For a second, I thought I finally found an exit, but when I stepped inside, I ended up back in my apartment, the door slamming shut behind me. The noises didn't help. They were everywhere now. The whispers started first, low, indistinct voices muttering just out of earshot. Then came the footsteps, slow and deliberate, echoing from somewhere above or below. I couldn't tell. At one point, I heard laughter. It wasn't loud or obvious, just this faint, airy giggle that made my stomach twist. And then I saw it. I was standing at the end of the hallway, catching my breath, when I noticed something out of the corner of my eye. A figure, tall, dark, and completely still, standing at the far end of the corridor. I froze, my flashlight trembling in my hand. It didn't move, it didn't even seem to breathe, but I swear, it was looking at me. I blinked, and it was gone. That's when I bolted back to my apartment. I locked the door, shoved the couch against it, and piled every piece of furniture I could find in front of it. My heart was pounding so loud, I thought it might give out. I told myself I'd wait it out until morning, but deep down, I knew that wasn't going to help. The tapping started again, louder this time. At first, I thought it was coming from the door, but then I realized it was all around me, behind the walls, under the floorboards, above the ceiling. It surrounded me, closing in. I grabbed my flashlight and turned in circles, trying to pinpoint where the sound was coming from, and that's when the light started flickering. For just a moment, the beam hit the wall. Faces, dozens of them, pressed against the plaster, their features distorted like they were trying to push through. Their eyes were empty, their mouths moving silently, forming words I couldn't hear. The flashlight cut out, plunging the room into darkness. I backed into a corner, my breath coming in short, ragged gasps, and all I could think was, I'm not alone in here. The tapping escalated into pounding, shaking the walls so hard I thought they were going to cave in. The floor beneath me felt unstable, like it was tilting, pulling me downward. It wasn't just the building anymore. It felt like the whole room was alive, trying to swallow me whole. The air was freezing now, so cold that my breath came out in visible puffs, even though I knew that made no sense. My ears were ringing, my hands shaking, but I needed to do something. I grabbed my laptop, hoping, praying that maybe the security cameras would show me something I could use to make sense of this nightmare. When I opened the feed, my stomach dropped. The hallways were no longer empty. They were filled with shadowy figures standing perfectly still. There had to be dozens of them, all facing my door. The camera quality wasn't great, but even through the grainy footage, I could tell there was something wrong with them. Their shapes didn't look human. My hands hovered over the keyboard as I tried to convince myself it was a glitch, some weird reflection or artifact. But then the figures moved. Not naturally, not like a person would. They moved frame by frame, jerky and unnatural, each step bringing them closer to the camera. The pounding on the walls stopped abruptly. I froze, staring at the screen, waiting for something to happen. My apartment was dead silent now. No whispers, no footsteps, no creaking floorboards, just the suffocating stillness that made my skin crawl. That's when I noticed the shadows on the feed. They weren't just moving, they were converging. Slowly, deliberately, they turned toward the camera as if they knew I was watching. I slammed the laptop shut, my heart racing. I stood there, trembling, and turned toward the door. I don't know why. I think part of me hoped I'd see something normal outside. Maybe someone had come to help, or maybe I was imagining all of it. I peered through the peephole. All I saw was darkness. It wasn't just the hallway lights being out. It was wrong. The kind of darkness that doesn't feel empty, that presses against you like it's waiting to consume you. And then I felt it. A breath on the back of my neck. I spun around, clutching my flashlight, but before I could even turn it on, I heard the whisper. You stayed. Now you're one of us. It wasn't loud. It wasn't even threatening. It was calm, almost welcoming, which made it so much worse. The light flickered back on for a brief moment, and I swear, just for a second, I saw them. Faces, blurry and distorted, standing all around me, watching, waiting. And then, everything went dark again. When the power came back on, it was like nothing had happened. The light stopped flickering, the hum of the refrigerator kicked back in, and the apartment felt normal. I sat in the middle of my living room, surrounded by overturned furniture and the mess I'd made while barricading myself in. The silence wasn't heavy anymore. It felt lighter, almost peaceful, like the building was trying to convince me that everything was fine. And for a while, I let myself believe it. Over the next few days, things settled down. I started putting my apartment back together, trying to convince myself that it had been some kind of stress-induced hallucination or a nightmare I hadn't fully woken up from. But I couldn't settle. I packed up and drove away, the roads feeling like a ghost town until I hit civilization again. People. Seeing real people made my heart skip. I checked into a motel and settled in, hoping to regain some sense of normalcy. But then, the little thing started. The first time I noticed it was in the mirror. I was brushing my teeth, staring at my reflection like usual. But when I turned to grab a towel, I could have sworn my reflection stayed still for a fraction of a second longer than it should have. It was subtle, so subtle I convinced myself I imagined it. But it kept happening. Sometimes I'd hear myself muttering under my breath, only to realize I hadn't said anything. Other times, when I walked through the apartment, I felt this strange heaviness in the air, like someone was standing just behind me, watching. And then the note came. It was slipped under my door, sealed in an envelope with no return address. At first, I thought it might have been a mistake, junk mail or a neighbor's letter delivered to the wrong place. But when I opened it, my stomach dropped. The handwriting was mine. It's not the building. It's you. You brought it with you. I tore through the apartment, searching for any explanation, anything that could make sense of what was happening. When I got to my suitcase, the one I'd unpacked weeks ago, I found something I didn't recognize. A key. It was old and tarnished, the kind of metal that feels unnaturally cold when you touch it. And I knew, deep in my gut, exactly what it was. The key to my old apartment. I didn't pack it. I don't know how it got there. That night, the tapping started again. Soft at first, but it grew louder, more insistent, like it was demanding my attention. The key sat on my nightstand, vibrating faintly. I grabbed it and threw it out the window in a panic, desperate to get it away from me. But when I turned back to my bed, the key was there again, sitting in the exact same spot. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I couldn't even think straight. I looked out the window and saw the other motel guests looking wary. They had started getting the same symptoms I had. I could tell by the way they were looking around for something that seemingly wasn't there. I didn't have a clue on how to get rid of it. But if the note was true, and I had truly brought it with me, the only thing I knew for sure was that I couldn't stay there anymore. It wasn't going to let me go, so I did the only thing I could think of. I went back. The drive to my old apartment complex was a blur. The key was clutched in my hand the entire time, cold and heavy, like it was pulling me back. When I got there, The building looked exactly the same. Dark, quiet, empty. The lights flickered as I stepped inside, just like they had before. The message board in the lobby was still there, covered in those desperate notes. But this time, there was a new one. It was written in my handwriting. Welcome back. The air grew colder as I climbed the stairs, my footsteps echoing down the empty halls. I could feel something watching me, the weight of unseen eyes pressing down on me with every step. When I reached my old apartment, the door was already open. Inside, everything was exactly as I'd left it, except for the walls. Black smudges were spreading across the plaster, twisting and branching out like veins. They pulsed faintly, as though something was alive beneath them. And then I heard it. A voice from the shadows, calm and welcoming. Welcome back. We've been waiting. I shouldn't have gone back. I know that. But I didn't have a choice. I couldn't bring this to more of the population. And the building, it never really let me leave. It wasn't just the building, though. It was me. I stayed. I let them in. And now, I'll never leave again.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.